Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
President Barack Obama has declared a national period of mourning for the victims of the mass shooting in Orlando, Florida. The president has ordered the U.S. flag lowered at the White House and all public buildings, military bases, and Navy ships until Thursday. Flags are also being flown at half-staff at all United States embassies and other offices overseas. The move comes as Americans observe Flag Day. Flag Day is celebrated every June 14th across the country. June 14th is not a federal holiday, but it is a chance for people to recognize the importance of the flag and its place in U.S. history. The United States began as 13 British colonies. Each colony had its own flag. But the colonists fought under a common flag during the Revolutionary War against Britain. The flag looked a lot like the U.S. flag does now. It had 13 red and white stripes for the 13 colonies. It had a square blue area in the upper left corner. Inside the blue area were the red cross and white lines of the British flag. In 1776, the Americans declared their independence from Britain. The United States of America was born. The Continental Congress of the new nation approved a new flag on June 14, 1777. The 13 red and white stripes remained. But 13 white stars replaced the British flag in the blue area. In 1818, Congress approved a law that said a new star would be added to the flag for each new state that joined the Union. Today, there are 50 states and 50 white stars in the blue area of the flag.
As Orlando continues to mourn the 49 victims of Sunday's mass shooting, new information about the shooter has led to new questions about his possible motives. Addressing Americans after the massacre at Pulse, a popular gay nightclub, U.S. President Barack Obama called the tragedy an act of terror and an act of hate. The FBI confirmed the shooting is being investigated as an act of terror. It said it had investigated the gunman, Omar Mateen, in 2013 and 2014 for having suspected ties to terrorist groups. FBI investigators said he told co-workers he had family connections to Al-Qaeda. He also claimed membership in the Shiite militant group Hezbollah. During the Orlando attack, the FBI said Mateen pledged allegiance to Islamic State during calls to police. He also mentioned the Boston Marathon bombers and a man who carried out a suicide attack in Syria. It's not entirely clear at this point just what terrorist group he aspired to support, FBI Director James Comey said. President Obama called the attack an apparent example of homegrown extremism. But he also said it was relevant that the shooter targeted a club used by the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. The Orlando attack came during June, which is dedicated as U.S. Pride Month in the LGBT community. During the month, LGBT people hold major festivals and celebrations across the U.S. On Monday, Obama said extremists with a perverted view of Islam have consistently targeted the gay and lesbian community. Because they believe they do not abide by their attitudes towards sexuality, Obama said. He added that even though groups like Islamic State condemn homosexuality, they think it is fine to take women captive, enslave them, and rape them. There clearly are connections between the attitudes of an organization like this and their attitudes towards tolerance and pluralism, Obama said, and a belief that all people are treated equally, regardless of sexual orientation. That is something threatening to them. Some news reports have quoted investigators as saying they are looking into whether Mateen visited Pulse nightclub prior to the night he launched the attack. An official with knowledge of the investigation told the Associated Press that people reported seeing Mateen and his wife at the nightclub on a prior occasion. The unnamed official said investigators had talked to the wife and will also use data from Mateen's phone to try to verify whether he had visited before. The Los Angeles Times quoted multiple witnesses as saying the gunman had attended the nightclub before and had used a gay dating app. One of the witnesses, who said he chatted with Mateen on the gay app, told the newspaper he saw him near the nightclub about 1 hour before the shooting. Mateen's father, Sadiq Mateen, spoke to reporters Tuesday about the latest reports. He said his son was not gay. He added that he never saw any homophobic behavior in his son, except for one time in Miami when Mateen expressed disgust at the sight of two men kissing. Mateen's ex-wife told CNN on Tuesday that she is not sure if her former husband had any homosexual tendencies. Sitora Yusufi said Mateen did feel very strongly about homosexuality. During a speech Monday, Republican presumptive presidential nominee Donald Trump mentioned the LGBT community when commenting on the Orlando attack. "Our nation stands together in solidarity with the members of Orlando's LGBT community," Trump said after observing a moment of silence for the victims. "This is a very dark moment in America's history. A radical Islamic terrorist targeted the nightclub not only because he wanted to kill Americans, but in order to execute gay and lesbian citizens because of their sexual orientation." Trump's Democratic rival, Hillary Clinton, spoke directly to the community in a message after the massacre. "To the LGBT community, please know that you have millions of allies across our country. I am one of them. We will keep fighting for your right to live freely, openly, and without fear. Hate has absolutely no place in America," Clinton said. The Florida chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations was quick to condemn the Orlando attack. The group's executive director, Nihad Awad, called the act a hate crime, plain and simple. He said his organization has no tolerance for extremism of any kind. "For many years, members of the LGBT community have stood shoulder to shoulder with the Muslim community against any acts of hate crimes, Islamophobia, marginalization, and discrimination. Today, we stand with them shoulder to shoulder, Awad said. Terrorism expert and author Mia Bloom spoke to Public Radio International on the difficulty of understanding the motives for extremist violence. I don't know if part of the homophobia is an extreme interpretation of his own sexual repressedness, said Bloom, a professor at Georgia State University. This is not someone who grew up in Pakistan or Saudi Arabia. This is someone who grew up in the United States, watching TV, being exposed to things like Will and Grace. This is not someone who's never seen two gay people kiss before, especially if he's hanging out at clubs with people who are cross-dressing. Bloom added, I think that Obama was very on point as far as saying that it doesn't have to be one thing at the exclusion of others. It was definitely a hate crime, and it was an act of terrorism. I'm Brian Lynn.
The day after 49 people were killed at a nightclub in Orlando, U.S. President Barack Obama called on the nation to make it harder for people who might be a threat to get guns, just as he had after other mass shootings. Obama said, "We have to decide if that's the kind of country we want to be, and to actively do nothing is a decision as well." But gun control proposals from Obama and others appear to have no better chance of passing Congress than they did after earlier mass killings. It's a good bet that Congress will continue to do nothing on gun control, said Philip Cook, a professor at Duke University in North Carolina. The Republican Party controls Congress, and most of its elected officials oppose new gun control bills, he said. The weapon used in the Orlando nightclub shooting was a six-saucer MCX rifle. It is a version of the AR-15 rifle and similar to the M16 weapon used by the U.S. military. Military-style weapons have also been used in other mass killings, including the killing of 14 at San Bernardino, the murder of 20 first graders and 6 adults at an elementary school in Newtown, and the killing of 12 at a movie theater in the state of Colorado. Sunday's mass killings at an Orlando nightclub and the killings at a holiday party in San Bernardino last year were carried out by people inspired by Islamic State militants, according to the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation. The Violence Policy Center said the rifle that Omar Martin used to kill 49 in Orlando is the weapon of choice for mass killings. Congress should ban it and similar weapons, said Josh Sugarman, the center's executive director. He said assault weapons like the one used in the Orlando shooting were designed for a simple purpose, to kill as many people as quickly and efficiently as possible. But opponents of gun control say the AR-15 is used by millions of Americans legally for target practice, hunting, and shooting competition. These terrorists hate us because our way of life is not compatible with their beliefs, said Dan Zelenka, president of the Louisiana Shooting Association. To allow the actions of a terrorist to affect the constitutional rights of law-abiding Americans is an anathema. Anathema is a word used to say that people are strongly opposed to something. Sales of some AR-15s and other military-style weapons were blocked by a 1994 assault weapon ban. But Congress refused to continue the law 10 years later. The National Rifle Association, which opposes most gun control legislation, asked Congress to end the assault weapon ban. Robert Spitzer is an expert on gun control issues at the State University of New York at Cortland. He said many people outside the United States have a hard time understanding why so many Americans, an estimated 100 million, own guns. He explained, "They represent a feeling of American individualism, the idea that Americans don't want to rely on others for self-protection, such as police or government," he said. There are more guns in America than other countries. The last major study, done in 2007 by the Small Arms Survey, said the United States has 88.8 guns for every 100 people, more than number 2 Yemen, which had 54.9 per 100 residents, and number 3 Switzerland, with 45.7 guns per 100 people. The question of how Americans feel about gun control is complex, with both sides even disagreeing over how much regulation is permitted by the U.S. Constitution. The Pew Research Center, for example, found in 2015 that large percentages of both Democrats and Republicans favor requiring people buying guns to complete a background check. But it said many conservatives fear such legislation would lead to the taking away of people's guns. A background check looks at whether someone has done something in the past, such as a violent act, or has mental health problems that would make gun ownership risky. Currently, people buying guns from private owners can avoid a background check in most U.S. states. That is the loophole or exception that Obama and others want to end. The issue of whether to limit gun purchases has become an issue in the presidential race between Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton. On Monday, Clinton called for several steps, among them a ban on the sale of military-style weapons, better background checks, and a ban on gun purchases by people on no-fly lists because of concerns about their support of terrorism. If you're too dangerous to get on a plane, you are too dangerous to buy a gun in America, Clinton said. Trump said he favored blocking people from countries with large numbers of terrorists from coming to the United States, but no new gun laws. They tried that in France, which has among the toughest gun laws anywhere in the world, and 130 people were brutally murdered by Islamic terrorists in cold blood, Trump said. He was talking about the November attacks on a concert hall, restaurants, and a sports stadium in Paris. I'm Bruce Alpert.
The United Nations Human Rights Chief has urged the United States to establish stronger gun control measures. Zayd Raad al-Hussein is the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. He says the current gun laws are too easy and, in his words, leave little space between murderous impulses and actions that result in death. His comments were made in a statement on Tuesday. The statement came 2 days after the largest mass shooting in U.S. history. 49 people were killed in the attack early Sunday at a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. The UN human rights chief knows the United States well. From 2007 to 2010, Zayd served as Jordan's ambassador to the U.S. and Mexico. In the statement, Zayd was critical of what he called irresponsible pro-gun propaganda. He asked how many more shootings the U.S. must experience before Congress takes action. Society, in particular its most vulnerable communities and minorities, who are already facing widespread prejudice, pay a high price for the failure to stand up to the lobbyists and take the necessary measures to protect citizens from gun violence, Zaid said. He added that the families of those killed in mass shootings have the right to stronger gun controls. I'm Katie Weaver.
Britons are set to vote this month on whether to remain in the European Union. Prime Minister David Cameron called for the vote set for June 23rd. Cameron opposes calls for a Brexit, for Britain to exit or withdraw from the 28-member EU. He says the move would hurt the country economically. On Friday, German Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble agreed with Cameron. He told Der Spiegel magazine that it would be a miracle if a withdrawal of Britain would come without economic disadvantages. However, the vote has brought to light other countries' dissatisfaction with the European Union. New research suggests public approval of the EU has fallen sharply across the continent. This has raised concerns in Brussels, the home of the EU's headquarters. Officials there fear a contagion effect, in which people in other EU member states demand similar votes. The American-based Pew Research Center contacted 10,000 people across Europe to find out what they thought about being in the EU. Their answers showed that Britain is not alone in having deep concerns about the group. Pew researchers say people in France looked at the EU more critically than their English-speaking neighbors to the north. Only 38% of those asked had a positive or good opinion of the EU. That is sharply down from 69% in 2004. In Spain, the public approval rate has fallen from 80% to 47% over the past 9 years. Tim Oliver is with the London School of Economics. He says a British decision to leave the EU could lead to demands for similar popular referendums across Europe. He adds, however, that nations will be watching Britain if it does choose to exit the EU.
However, whether or not they'll succeed, it depends upon, one, what happens to the UK. If the UK struggles, then that sets quite a powerful message to the rest of the European Union.
Oliver thinks that a Brexit would take a long time and could create bitterness.
The rest of the European Union is looking to either punish the United Kingdom for withdrawing, so there has to be an economic cost. The UK can't withdraw and not feel any punishment, any costs and so forth, and get a new relationship with the EU, or else that might encourage other member states to do the same thing.
Pew researchers say much of the disapproval of the EU is related to how it has dealt with the current refugee crisis. More than 1 million refugees and migrants arrived in Greece last year. Disapproval of the EU's policies on migrants is highest there at 94%. Oliver says the growing number of new arrivals has pushed the EU to its limits.
They haven't solved each crisis, they've just managed to cope and move on and hope they'll find a solution later on. If several crises align at the same time, that puts the EU in uncharted territory, and that is quite dangerous.
In Britain, current and former officials are making their case on EU membership to likely voters. Former British Foreign Secretary William Hague spoke to experts at Chatham House in London recently. He warned that a British exit could cause further divisions that would weaken Western nations, something that ought to be avoided at all costs. However, as disapproval of the EU grows, experts say a British exit could have much wider consequences both inside and outside Europe. I'm Mario Ritter.
This is What's Trending Today. Girek Soudé is sailing around the world. The 24-year-old Frenchman has already been at sea for 2 years. He set sail from the Canary Islands in May of 2014. He has since traveled along Africa's west coast, through the Caribbean Sea, and up to the Arctic Ocean. Soudé is the only person on his sailboat, but he is not making the trip alone. He brought along his pet chicken. Soudé met Monique the hen on the Canary Islands shortly before he began his around-the-world voyage. At the time, the bird was only about 4 months old. Soudé told a BBC reporter that he knew she was the one straight away. While planning for his trip, Soudé had considered bringing along an animal for companionship, but not necessarily a chicken. But as he told the BBC reporter, the hen was an ideal choice. It doesn't need that much looking after, and I'm able to get eggs at sea. He noted that Monique makes about 6 eggs a week. The sailing chicken has made international news. The story has also become popular on social media. As one Twitter user wrote this week, "This hen has a better life than me." Monique and her owner are currently in Greenland. They plan to sail to Alaska next. You can find reports about Soudé's trip on his Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram pages. And that's What's Trending Today.
The nonprofit company that gives the ACT college entrance exam canceled plans to give the test last Saturday in South Korea and Hong Kong. Spokesman Edward Colby said the company canceled the exams on Friday for about 5,500 people at 56 test centers. It did this, he said, after the company received evidence that test materials had been stolen. He said he believes it is the first time that the exam has been canceled for an entire country. "We are extremely concerned about any activities that could have an effect on the fairness and integrity of the test," he said. When individuals attempt to profit by stealing test materials and selling them, it can hurt thousands of students who did nothing wrong, as it has in this case. Colby did not discuss how or where the test information was stolen. "The students whose tests were canceled will have their test fees returned," Colby said. "However, the test will not be given again until September." In 2013, the College Board, the company that gives the Scholastic Aptitude Test, or SAT, canceled testing for all students in South Korea. In that case, the College Board also said its testing materials were stolen. The ACT College Entrance Test competes with the SAT. I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.